Well, welcome everybody here this morning. I'm so grateful that everybody can be here with us as we gather with the saints on this Lord's Day to worship our God, to study His Word, to remember our Lord and Savior who died for us. There are often two types of religious individuals that we encounter when we talk to people, when we seek to learn about what they believe and when they share with us what they believe, and when we try to talk to them about what God's Word has to say. Often these two types of people are categorized as either the first group being people who are simply regurgitating things that they've heard, what they have learned from the televangelists or what they've learned from their preachers or their priests, those individuals that have taught them. Maybe they don't really know personally what the Scriptures say, but they've heard it enough that they're able to repeat kind of what they put their hope and faith in. And then there are those who know Scripture. Perhaps they know of single Scriptures within broader contexts, and those Scriptures, those verses that they know are kind of used as their their motto, their mantra, he that calleth the name of the Lord shall be saved, that type of thing. But they know just enough Scripture to be dangerous to themselves and possibly to others in not understanding fully what God's Word has to say. And it's important for us, especially given the context of our society, religious society, that focuses a lot on prophecies, particularly the end of days, Armageddon, apocalypse. Often these discussions go to Revelation. But a lot of times the sign or what people want to focus on as kind of being the calling card of what is going to start the end of days is the Antichrist. And this is one particular teaching or concept that a lot of times we'll come into contact with people who are maybe talking about it amongst themselves, or they're asking you, well, who do you think the Antichrist is, or what do you think the Antichrist is? And they're convinced that either he's already here or he's going to be coming really soon. A lot of times they'll link certain prophecies that they perceive in Revelation, and they'll link it to some obscure event in our world and say, see, this is what was foretold was going to happen, and now the Antichrist is going to be coming soon, and the end of the world is going to be upon us. Sometimes the Antichrist is referred to as 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the man of sin. A lot of times he's that particular writing of 2 Thessalonians is registered as being the Pope. People try to make out of that. Maybe it's that beast in Revelation 13. Some people define that beast as America as being the Antichrist, or maybe it's Islam or some other nationality or thought process that they associate with the beast of Revelation 13. Maybe it's some magical being or perhaps even a human being that is going to take on special power of his own, lead some kind of revolution, is going to cause chaos and the downfall of our society as we know it, and he's going to start Armageddon, some radical who's going to kind of throw everything into chaos. And then other times it's more abstract, this concept of Antichrist. Maybe it's TV is the Antichrist, or internet, or music, and this is more conceptual, that these things are the Antichrist that is to cause people to fall away and so forth. But what does the Bible say? A lot of times when we ask or when we talk to people, or people talk to us, a lot of times maybe it'll just come up in conversation about the Antichrist. This is, and there certainly are other categories that people might offer their thoughts as to who or what the Antichrist is, but these are a lot of the common ones that we'll hear. What might we respond when it comes to these thoughts and these concepts? How would we talk to somebody who maybe asks us, well, what do you think? Who do you think the Antichrist is? Or what is the Antichrist? And when do you think he'll be here? How might we respond to that? Well, we want to go to the Scriptures with any type of response that we have. And we want to make sure that whatever we say not only comes from Scripture, but that it harmonizes with all the other Scriptures as well. And that's one part of those categories of individuals that we talked about, those who are just kind of repeating what they've heard and those who know just enough scripture to kind of be dangerous to themselves and others. A lot of times, and most times, those scriptures don't harmonize, or those thoughts that they repeat don't harmonize with other scriptures and what they teach. So we want to make sure that everything we say and everything that we talk about with regard to the Antichrist is in harmony with what God's Word says. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2. Excuse me, 1 John chapter 2. And we're going to start in verse 18 because this is kind of the main text from which the concept of Antichrist comes. This is where the term Antichrist, the Antichrist, is referred to, as well as what was read just a minute ago in 1 John chapter 4. So in here, verse 18, 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you've heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life. This text and 1 John chapter 4 are the texts that reference Antichrist. And these are the texts upon which the basis is built, not actually taught, but built about the Antichrist. But what's important to note is that in both verses 18 and in verse 22, where many of our texts will read the Antichrist, there in verse 22, he is the Antichrist who denies the Father. Verse 18, you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. There is no the. In fact, I appreciate Trice in the version that he read in 1 John chapter 4. There's no the either in that text. It's just Antichrist. Because usually when people read this passage, or usually it's just referencing it or referring to the concept of the Antichrist, they think of it as definite article noun. They think the Antichrist, as if the Antichrist is a noun concept. It's almost like a pronoun describing or calling out an individual, labeling a person, that type of thing, that this is the, almost capital A, Antichrist. But notice how in this text, verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. John is describing a specific group of people, not just some random individual that rose up out in the world, but rather he's specifically referring to Christians. They were among us, he says, but they were not of us. For if they'd been of us, they would have continued with us. But now they went out. Went out from where? They went out from the body of Christ. They were Christians and they have fallen away from the truth. And specifically in the context of 1 John chapter 2, they're teaching that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh. That's what they're teaching. They're going around and saying that Jesus was just an apparition. He was a spirit who looked like he was in the flesh. Because this is what stemmed, or what eventually would become the teaching, it was kind of the basis of it, that all flesh is sinful. And that's why Jesus Christ couldn't have come in the flesh. He was just a spirit, because if he had been flesh, he would have been sinful, and we know he had no sin, therefore he wasn't in the flesh. And so as he goes on to say, verse 21, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it. And that no lie is of the truth. That's a lie, John says. In fact, 1 John chapter 1, as well as the Gospel of John chapter 1, John describes how that we were there. I was there. I saw Jesus in the flesh. I touched Jesus in the flesh. I know. And he who denies, verse 22, that Jesus is the Christ, perhaps some of these who had gone out, in addition to those who were teaching that Jesus didn't come in the flesh, some of them might have fallen back to Judaism. We know that happened with the Hebrews in the Hebrew letter. Some of these Jews who had come to Christ were even rejecting Christ and going back to the old law. And John says, he who is a liar, but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. And the fact that the specific teaching that was going around, false teaching that was going around, was that Jesus did not come in the flesh. And that's not true. And so what we find that John speaks here, he says, I want you to understand, you know the truth. He says, I'm not writing to you because you don't know the truth. You do know it. I'm writing so that you can remain strong. That's why he's writing to the saints. And he's referring to this so that they will remain faithful and steadfast in the word of God. That they won't be influenced by those who perhaps they knew personally, who had gone out from among them, had gone out into the world and had become antichrists. So let's go over to 2 John. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And let's read the text that Trice read just a moment ago. 1 John chapter 4. Notice with me starting in verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. He's not talking about apparitions and ghosts and beings. He's talking about people and the spirit that is within people, their person. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Verse 4, you are of God, little children. You have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Between 1 John 2 and 1 John 4, what we learn is that with regard to the Antichrist and the Antichrist coming, there already are Antichrists in the world, he says. This is the spirit of Antichrist, verse 3, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. This is what the Bible says about Antichrist. What's interesting is what people take from this is just a pronoun, the Antichrist. And then they attach all kinds of concepts that aren't actually in the text to it. One of those concepts is that there is no Antichrist right now, but he's going to be coming someday. But that's not what it says. It says that many had come already. John says that there were many among us who have left from us. They're all Antichrists. There's not a single one, the Antichrist, capital A. They're all Antichrist because either they don't hold to the fact that Jesus is the Christ anymore, or specifically one of the false teachings going around here that John's addressing is the fact that Jesus didn't come in the flesh. This is one of the problems that they're facing. And as a result, as he says back in chapter 2, verse 18, by this we know this is the last hour. Not literal hour, but this is the last period of time. This is all there's going to be. There's not going to be any new dispensation. This is the final period of time that God will allow the gospel to be attacked. God will allow his saints to be persecuted. It's not meant as a literal period of time. And to us, an hour is kind of signifies a short period of time. Well, to God, yeah, anything is a short period of time. But John is using this kind of as a reference to say that there's not going to be any more periods of time. This is the last segment. And by this we know we live in the last segment. We're not under the patriarchal period or the Mosaical law period. We're under the last dispensation, This is the last period of time God's going to allow anything to happen. And we know also that there's not going to be anything else. That's something else that's signified by this. There's not going to be any new teachings. Jesus isn't the Christ. Was there another one coming? No. Christ has been sent. Jesus is the Christ. And as a result, there is no other Messiah going to be coming. No new law coming. Well, he didn't come in the flesh. That's a lie. He did come in the flesh. So as a result, John recognizes this is the last time. Which goes into the effect, or to the thought process of, well, when is he coming? He's been here through this last time. He, talking about antichrists, plural. The antichrist is a spirit or attitude, not a miraculous spirit or a demon. It is the mindset, the attitude of literally the term is not used as a pronoun or even a noun. It's actually an adjective. It is that which is anti-Christ. The actual term is a unique term in the New Testament, but it signifies that which is against, standing apart from Christ. But what's interesting about this is that John signifies this term not only to relate those who say, well, Christ or Jesus really isn't the Christ, the Son of God. You can see how that would definitely be anti-Christ or anti-Jesus as Christ. But he even includes Christians who recognize Jesus as the Christ, but they're going around teaching that he did not come in the flesh. Whatever teaching that is not according to God's word is anti-Christ. That's how John uses this term. Anything that goes away from what God has already established in his gospel of Jesus Christ, that is anti-Christ. And of course, the attitudes of those who are teaching it, John makes this out to be deliberate. It's a lie. They're not just honestly mistaken. It's a lie. They know better. And they're going around and teaching this anyway. They are anti-Christ. We also learn, out of all of this, because it's an attitude and a mindset, it's not a single entity. In fact, the plural is used back in 1 John chapter 2. Many are in the world. These have gone away from us. And then he says in verse 3, this is the spirit. The New King James has spirit in italics because this is of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is already in the world. He's not referring to a demon. He's not referring to some miraculous or spiritual being. He's referring to every spirit that does not confess. Well, how many out there were there? Plural. There was a bunch, not just one. There are many already out there. It's not one person, not one demon. It's a mindset that people have adopted within themselves that is, description, adjective, anti-Christ and him crucified. The whole gospel as it's revealed. They are anti-truth of Christ. They are anti the fact that Christ came in the flesh. They are anti that Christ even, or Jesus was even the Christ to begin with. Anything that is against the gospel of Jesus, John says, is anti-Christ. But ultimately, the only thing that people adopt from 1 John chapter 2 and 1 John chapter 4 out of all of this is just the term Antichrist. They don't really base anything that they believe on the texts that John gives us, except for the term Antichrist. What they base their thoughts on, because notice nowhere in here other than the phrase the last hour, nowhere in here is there even a hint of a concept of the end of days or the apocalypse or the end of the world. When John refers to this is the last hour, he's not referring to the end of the world is coming really, really soon. It's more of a reference of this is the last period of time that God's going to allow. This is the last gospel, last Christ. There's no Messiah, no other Messiah coming. He's the only one. Well, so where do they get some of these ideas from? Where do they get these prophecies from? Prophecies. They get it from Revelation. The book of Revelation. Because the Antichrist is most often, in fact, a lot of times you'll hear people refer to the Antichrist being in Revelation. or in some of the prophecies. They insert him into the prophecies of Revelation. And so when we turn to Revelation and we read through the different chapters of Revelation, what's interesting is there is not a single reference to the Antichrist or even to the spirit of Antichrist or those who are Antichrists. None of that's there. Even in Revelation chapter 13, which is ultimately kind of serves as the construct for what most people think of as the end of days. Verses 1 through 8, there's the beast that's rising up with the seven heads and the ten horns. Verse 2, the beast was that I saw was like a leopard, and he just describes the beast. Verse 3, I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded. And then in verse 4, so they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worship the beast saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? He was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. He opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. You could see how people maybe who are just repeating what they've heard, who don't really know Scripture, or maybe they know a little bit of Scripture, you could see how that they would associate the concept of the Antichrist with what's being described here in Revelation 13, verses 1 through 8. And they can attribute that to anybody that they think is kind of fits that description, which is very broad, to be sure, but the specifics that John references here with regard to this vision, nobody fits that description in our time. So what's interesting is Antichrist isn't mentioned in Revelation, especially not even chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. There is no mention of a single entity coming that will begin Armageddon. You don't read that here, not in Revelation 13 or anywhere else. That's not here. What you read is about this, and it's again, it's a symbolic understanding, but notice that this is all about making war with the saints and then those who aren't serving God. And though the one who has authority and who is encouraging the war with the saints, remember, this is all being written back before the destruction of Rome. This was written after the destruction of Jerusalem. It's not about Jerusalem. It's about Rome. And at that time, that in the 90s AD, when Rome was persecuting the saints, things were bad for Christians. And all this, Revelation, is written literally from Christ. It's written by John. But Christ is revealing this to John specifically for the seven churches of Asia. Not to all the saints. Although we glean stuff from it too, it's written to the seven churches of Asia because they were going to be affected more than any other people, any other Christians, by the fall of Rome. They were there. They were in the heart of the Roman Empire, and they were going to be affected the most. And so this is written to encourage them, ironically, that God will bring judgment upon Rome. God will punish those who cause his people to suffer. You stay faithful. That's what all of Revelation is about. So to insert in here a single entity that will start Armageddon, none of it's about the end of time anyway. That's what people don't see here. There's no reference to the end of time in Revelation 13. But people insert that as well. In 2 Thessalonians 2, that's a whole lesson of itself about the man of sin that'll sit on God's throne and present himself as God. There's no reference even in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 about he is the Antichrist. What better time for Paul to put to rest any thoughts or any, you know, give future commentary for John or for John to reference what Paul wrote? There's none of that. He's not the Antichrist, because there's no such thing as the Antichrist. There's no mention of objects or nations in 1 John chapter 2 or 1 John chapter 4. There's no objects or nations being referenced there. John himself doesn't reference a single entity and the end of time. It's only people. Just people. When John says they went out from us, who's the they? What's the they? It wasn't TV. It wasn't internet. It wasn't any of that. It wasn't nations. It was saints who had fallen away. That's who went out from us. They were individual people who were Christians, and they were fallen away. So when somebody talks to us and asks us, hey, well, who do you think the Antichrist is? Or when do you think the Antichrist is coming? Do you think it's any of the popes? Because at some point or another, all of the popes have been accused of being Antichrist by anti-Catholics, Protestants. They've all been accused of being the Antichrist at some point. And the Pope or the first beast there in Revelation 13? Well, if you want to use it from a broad definition of being Antichrist, yeah, those who make themselves God or make themselves out to be some higher authority, sure, you could put that into that category. But remember specifically what the context of Antichrists are. People who oppose Jesus as Messiah. Well, is that generic? Sure. People who reject Jesus as the Son of God, the Messiah. Yeah, you could say that's Antichrist. But ultimately, the context of the phrase, of the term, they're Christians. Christians that leave the understanding of the gospel and they teach things that are dangerous to souls. If they hear them, they fall away from the truth. Hymenaeus and Philetus taught that the resurrection was already past. Paul says that's a dangerous doctrine because they overthrew the faith of some. That means their faith were made shipwreck. Their faith was gone. It was a result their faith was not going to save them now because they had left the truth. These are Christians who are going around teaching Jesus didn't come in the flesh. That is a dangerous teaching. That will cause people to lose their souls, not just because of the teaching itself, but because of what can come from that teaching. Sin, we're flesh and blood, and as a result, we have to sin. So we might as well not even try to fight against it because there's nothing we can do about it. So we might as well sin. That's the ultimate conclusion of that thought. John says these are antichrists. Not TV, not internet, not music. Only people, and to use it within the context of the scriptures, only Christians who have fallen away. Not just random people who are against Jesus or just random people. I mean, technically, are they antichrist? Yeah, they are. They have a spirit that is against Christ and against his word. Technically, the term fits. But if we're going to use it in the context, we're talking about Christians. That might, if you offer that to somebody, you're talking to them. You say, you know, in 1 John chapter 2 and chapter 4, those are the main texts that describe Antichrist. 2 John 7, you kind of have that concept there as well. But mainly it's 1 John 2 and 1 John 4. 1 John 1 and 1 John 2 and 1 John 4, that's right. And then, so if we offer that to somebody, you know, they're talking about these, you know, things happening in the world. Well, did you know that the term Antichrist actually was in reference to Christians and only Christians, people who were baptized and then fell away because they went away from what the gospel teaches. That might inspire, That might inspire an opportunity. Well, maybe we can sit down after work and talk about it. I've got my Bible with me. Maybe we can, I'll show you and you can read it. You never know what that might spawn. Because ultimately, there were many antichrists in John's time, and there still are today. And even within the context, there still are today. People who were baptized for the remission of their sins, they were taught properly, and then they fell away and are holding, practicing, and teaching things that are not of God. And that mindset that goes with it is someone who is against Christ and what Christ brought. Hopefully we can offer that to people. Whether they're Christians or not Christians, hopefully that's something that can pique their interest. Something we can offer them. Maybe it'll lead to further Bible studies. You never know what might come from that. That's the lesson for you this morning. I hope it's something that's beneficial for us, to equip us to be able to have an answer when people ask us for, maybe it's not about the hope that is in us, but maybe it's about the Antichrist. Maybe we can use that as a springboard to something else. we want to offer the invitation to those who are not Christians, to those who have not put on Christ in baptism to have their sins washed away, to those who haven't been added to the body of Christ. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Do you believe that He did come in the flesh? He lived as a man. He died as a man, being tortured and put to death. Do you believe He was risen the third day and is now in heaven at the right hand of God? If so, then hear what Jesus says. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. For those of us who are Christians, let's make sure, first of all, that we're always obeying God's word, and that when we talk to others, we're teaching God's word, lest we ourselves, should we fall away, become antichrists ourselves. But also, let's make sure that we have the knowledge and the means to be able to present to others God's word, whether it's about salvation or about the Antichrist. Let's be prepared to answer. We offer an invitation. If you're subject, please come forward as we stand and sing.